This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Jace. Sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, Angler U, the Belleville Meat Market, Mainstream Marketing, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, getting the weather. It's still windy. Hadn't stopped. All right, looking at Galveston right now. 75 down on island. Feels like 77. Today, windy. Isolated thunderstorms this morning, mostly cloudy during the afternoon with some thunderstorms developing later with a high of 78. South-southeast winds 20 to 30 miles per hour with a rain chance of 90%, and some of these winds could gust over 40. Nothing's changed. Tonight, windy with thunderstorms early. Variable clouds, chance of lingering showers as that front tries to clear on through. We're going to have a low of 54 tonight. Down on the island, be cooler on high ground, but northwest wind is 25 to 35. And then for tomorrow, decreasing clouds, but windy. High of 62, north-northwest winds 20 to 30 with higher wind gusts. So kind of a bleak forecast. Not what I'd call one of my favorites. Tides for today, we have two of them. We have a low tide coming up at 5:01 a.m. It's a negative 0.1, and then the high at 2:47 p.m. a 1.6. 7:04 a.m. is sunrise, 7:40 p.m. sunset. Moon phase, 46%, right out of half moon. And looking at current wind conditions and everything around the complex here, looks like offshore, 18 to 22, big waves out there. Seawater, 72. Air temperature 74, and Eagle Point, it's south-southeast at 25, gusting to 30. Pretty much the same up around Morgan's Point, and all the water temps are up in the 70s, 77.9 at Eagle Point and 77 up at Morgan's Point. So, man, water temps are really coming up. They should trim down a little bit with this front, cooler night, so a lot of wind. And hopefully it'll drop some of these tides that are running way above normal. Got flooding in a lot of areas along the beachfront, so you go get in the water today, you better beware. Rip currents are plentiful. All right, let's get over to Sabine Lake and strike up a conversation with Bill Watkins this morning. Good morning, Bill. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm here, man. I'm here.
I just wonder... I know that we've had consecutive days of wind like this for, you know, way more often than we remember, but boy, this one has been, this has been some kind of a blow.
Yeah.
Man.
I've seen it do this for 2 or 3 months before it finally settled out.
Yeah.
You know, these weaker frontal boundaries, you know, they start coming down and then you start sucking the Gulf moisture up and all the tornadic activity that just makes it worse.
Yeah, it's bad. Bad up in the Midwest. Wow, boy, those poor people are catching it. Floods and tornadoes. Pretty rough stuff. We've been spared most of that. All we've had down here basically is just wind. But those low pressure systems are sucking that wind.
Yeah, they are.
Pulling it right on up there.
Yeah, and the more tornadic that weather gets, and the more energy it pulls, the windier it gets down here on the coast, man.
Yeah, I would say that the pressure gradients are tight.
Little bit.
Some of those videos of tornadoes they're having up there. Good
incredible,
grief.
Isn't it?
That's incredible. You just gotta. I think if I lived in that country, I think I'd have to have me a storm shelter.
Yeah, I'd have storm shelter living up there.
Yeah, man. My brother told me that they had one up at Sam Rayburn the other day that touched down. And, man, it just tore down a big old pine tree, snapped them off, you know, just, and then skipped back up in the clouds and went on its way. You know, if you were, it just happened to be in the national forest where it hit, but it did take a couple of roofs off of a couple of nice homes, you know, right over there around Powell Park. And they didn't even know that it happened. They were up there, but they didn't realize it.
Yeah.
You know, but they started, he hauled his boat around to the Five Finger side. He said, man, you wouldn't even believe what it did in the back of that cove. It just, nothing, you know, it snaps off big pine trees like matchsticks.
Yeah, like twigs.
You know, I remember one time, it's been about probably 10 years ago, we had a tornado drop down in the state forest up there in Newton County. And it went on both sides of the highway, and it just, and there was a bunch of, you know, probably cuttable pine trees that were planted in there. And it took out probably a 40-acre patch.
Goodness.
Just right down, I mean, snapped those trees off just like matchsticks and just threw them everywhere. And we decided we wouldn't have wanted to be there that night. Man, that is some scary stuff.
It is. Give me a good old hurricane.
Yeah. If you've ever been through a tornado, man, you won't ever forget it. I mean, I right in Orange, Texas, there was an EF4 come right down beside my uncle's house. And you talk about terrifying. That was an amazing event. And I had one come over me. So it went right over the top of the house up at our deer camp. And that was, you just don't forget it. The sounds and everything going on around you.
That sound to me sounds like a locomotive. You know, like an engine running, a high speed, just powerful engine. I heard two of them firsthand, you know, in Beryl, that little hurricane last year. They called a little, but it didn't. It played pretty big, but I heard two of them. Man, I watched them twist the tops out of my pecan trees just like gum wrappers. And took out a pound. It was about 80 foot, you know, in my neighbor's yard. It ended up in my yard. And, that was wild. Those are just little twisters in that hurricane. Can you imagine what a F3 or F4 or a 5 is like? My goodness.
Yeah, it flattens everything that it touches. I mean,
nothing left but slabs.
We had four come through our backyard during Ike. And that's what made me decide that I won't ever stay for another hurricane. I'm a leaving, buddy. Oh, man. Yeah, that was a... There's still part of my metal roof standing up in the timber about 75 yards from my house to the north. Flipped it, ripped the roof off one side of the house and flipped it end over end and dropped it straight down through the trees and stuck it in the ground. And it's still there yet.
Man.
You know, every time the leaves get off the trees, you can see it out there.
Force of nature, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a... That's scary stuff. But anyway, I guess I don't have a report for you this week.
Not a lot of people
nobody,
do.
I hate
this
fishing.
Time of year, man. You finally get through with hunting season and get into fishing, and it just, it's the way it is. Yeah, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, I fished through March like crazy, you know.
Yeah.
But some of the days,
February
at least
too.
At least five of those days was like 30 to 35 mile an hour winds.
Here we are in April.
Rough.
30 and 40 mile an hour winds. Let's play ball.
Yeah. Well, I'll be going next Thursday. So hopefully this front will come through and it's going to clear out, warm back up, and then.
It'll get pretty cool with this, some of the temperatures I'm seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm supposed to be in the mid-40s here.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, there. I went ahead and planted my tomato plants. That might have been the dumb thing to do. seems like every year I get lulled into thinking it's over, you know. Cold weather's over. And then
you don't have to worry about it freezing. All my pecan trees budded out earlier in the week, Monday and Tuesday. They just pop like crazy. Here we go.
Yeah, they're doing that here too. So
yeah, they never get nipped in the bud.
No, I think they'll be all right. And the ground's real warm right now, so I don't think there'll be a frost. But we could get real near it. It won't hurt the fishing any. And fish have been protected for about a week and a half now.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Nobody's been out there. I mean, the last time I fished.
Let them relax.
Yeah.
It staged up.
I think I saw two boats that day, two fishermen.
Yeah, the other day when I went, I saw one other boat, and he was going in.
Yeah.
Pretty slow.
It's pretty slow. I mean, you've got a lot of fresh water, but now that's probably mixed on up.
Yeah, all these roll tides can do is help you.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know, my backyard bounced back about a month ago. Water's good over there. You know, we had those real low tides and then the southerly flows and then more low tides, and it got rid of a lot of, dispersed all that fresh water.
I can't wait to get back out there.
Yeah, if you can. There's a lot of stuff I want to fish, and I can't target in these winds.
No.
It's just so many areas I want to hit and that I normally do good this time of year, and you know, on the calmer days, I just can't get to them. Can't do my thing.
No. No, that's the way it is right now. But
it is.
This too shall pass.
Mother Nature can take your fish away from you, and she can sure save them, too.
Yeah.
Protect.
Well, they're getting to grow right now without much pressure.
Not at all. All right, let me knock this break out. I'll be right back, Bill. Hang on a second,
okay, buddy.
All right. Well, hey, anglers, you ready to hook into something big? It's time for the Matagorda Slam Fishing Tournament. That's happening Friday, April 25th in Matagorda, Texas. And they're kicking things off Thursday night on the 24th. Join us for the captain's meeting in Calcutta dinner at Rusty Hook Ranch. And Rudy's Barbecue, cold drinks, and a chance to get in on the action before it even hits the water. And then it's game on, safe light launch Friday morning, and weigh in from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Matagorda Harbor. Bring your A game, your best team, and your lucky fishing rods. Entry fee is just $400 per team. And here's the best part. Your entry includes an all-you-can-eat crawfish dinner on Saturday at the legendary Matagorda Slam Crawfish Cook-Off. And proceeds will benefit the Hook Spit Junior Anglers Association. They're helping get more kids on the water and into the great outdoors. Spots are filling fast, so register today at matagordaslam.com. That's matagordaslam.com, and get ready to slam. morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:18 here in the Bayou City on a Saturday morning. All right, we're back, Bill.
Well, I'm here with you. So let's talk about fishing reels.
All right.
For just a minute. What has been your very favorite fishing reel of all time?
Oh, for all time?
Yeah. Of all the different brands you've used, and I'm just curious about that.
Man, you know, I'd have to go back in the day with the, you know, the Shimano's. Not the Corrado, the cheaper reel. I'm talking about in the Chronarchs, the not that kind of polished silvery looking one, but it was the Chronarch Mag 100. You know, it had the gold star drag on it and kind of a silvery color. And, oh, man, what was that model of that reel? I think it was a Mag 100. And I've still got two of them that are still smooth as butter. No, they weren't super free. They were just, they were bulletproof. I mean, you know, and I used the Calais a lot. That was a hell of a reel, too. But it was real high dollar. But one Chronarch was just, I mean, you could do anything with it. I mean, it just kept on ticking. I don't care how many bull reds you'd catch on, the drag stayed the same. And it casted like a fool. And, you know, I mean, for all time, for, you know, as long as I've been fishing, now with all the new stuff, I mean, it's definitely better than that. As far as smoothness and, you know, drag smoothness, castability, lightweight and all that, but jury's still out on these. I don't think they'll hold up near like those reels did. We'll see.
No. I bought six Corrado 200s. You know, just not,
yeah, the green
not
ones.
Before the age of the Super Free.
Right.
And I bought them in 1991. Mm-hmm. And I fished tournaments with them for, 8 years.
Right.
And then after the 8 years, and never had a failure, not one time.
Wow, that was a bulletproof reel, too. That's what I had for customer reels.
Yeah, and then I converted them when I come down here and started fishing Sabine in 99. I converted them to customer loaner reels.
Yeah.
And I have four of those six that are still running. And, I mean, they're starting to show signs of wear.
Yeah.
But even in salt water.
Oh, I know. I had about 20 of them, and I ended up selling them to Susie and Mark that owned the Reel Inn, you know, that reel repair place out there by me. God, that was the greatest place. But they wanted them. I said, well, hey, man, I got shoe boxes full of these things. I'm not ever going to do anything with them. So I sold them to them real cheap. They went through them, you know, and just cleaned them and replaced a bearing here or there, whatever they needed. And before they could ever get them out on the shelves, they had them, all of them sold. People lining up.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, you can't get parts for them from Shimano anymore. Mm. They're way out of date. But you can get individual reel shops can have parts for them. And they casted real good, and the bearings were excellent. And reel technology has kind of gone downhill after that.
Yeah.
But those were probably the best. And my dad had a 4500C black reel.
I remember those.
I think he bought in 1963. The Abu Garcia. Mm. It had little pearl handles on it. And that reel, the technology in those bearings was They were built like tanks. Any they've got today.
You know, yeah. But people didn't worry about weight back then, you know?
And, no.
And that's why those reels were so good, because they had the right components in them, which added weight to it. But you weren't going to wear those out. Not the gears or anything. You know, you had a few drag problems. You have to replace a drag washer here and there. But for the most part, I mean, pretty much bulletproof, yeah. Brother.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad and I used to stand on those pilings on the end of Rollover Pass on the Gulf side.
Perch on them like a seagull.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Looked like the crane technique on the Karate Kid.
Yeah, Karate Kid.
I can't even believe we did that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my dad.
But modern day now, you know, Lou's makes a pretty good reel. You know, I've seen those hold up quite well. And now the 13s,
really
all the reels they had, there's only two that I really, really, really liked. And that was the C, you know, the white one, and then the E.
Yeah.
The E, they didn't get real popular because they were so expensive. But I've still got four or five of those that are just like butter, man. You got to really take care of them, though.
I've got to
keep them oiled and cleaned.
I've got four. I've got a C and two C2, no, three C2s.
Mm-hmm.
Still in the box.
Now, that TX, boy, that kind of, that seafoam green one, in the Gen 2, I've got a few of those that have held up really good that I hadn't had any trouble out of.
Yeah, I've got one that's still on my main battle rod right now. And,
one listener just asked me if I was talking about the core. That core was junk. It
core was junk.
I mean, you put an aluminum gear running against a brass drive gear in one bull red, and the teeth were gone. It was done.
That's true.
It was a great trout reel, you know, for catching little to mid-sized trout and everything. But for big fish, it was garbage after you fought one big fish with it. I don't know how many of those I had rebuilt, you know, send them back, and they'd put new gears in them.
I had people bring those through the boat, and they were the worst to backlash and harder to set. You know, they were junk.
That Kronark I was talking about was a 100, and I couldn't destroy them.
Yeah. I think I had a gold Kronark. I still have it.
I remember the old gold ones. Yeah, those were good.
And I've got one brand new with the original line still on it. Never has been fished, and I'm saving it. I don't know why, but that thing. You know, I had one that I used and used and used and used, and had it rebuilt, and it's still good. But that one, I mean, it don't have a scratch on it. It's in my gun safe. That's how important that one is.
But, I'm trying to, you know, you can't look back and see Shimano reels. All they show you is the new stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look that reel up. I've got a couple at home. If I remember today, I'll look at them and I'll know exactly which ones they were. Talk about it tomorrow, but... You know, now I'm fishing with these new baits, hundos. I've got two of them that are, I can't complain about anything with them. The salty hundos. The only thing I complain about is the price of them. They're very expensive. But they're all one made piece, the cage and everything, and they're machined. I mean, it's precision. And, they are light. And so far, so good. Drag system, castability. I mean, you can chunk them a country mile, and they're real smooth. So, but, you know, to be honest, I hadn't caught enough fish on them yet to really put them through the test. You know, once I get to fishing a lot and go to winching down on, you know, reds and everything else, mixed schools and stuff, then I'll tell the truth about them.
Yeah. That's right. I have not used one of those yet. but I've heard about them, but
yeah,
hadn't tried them out.
They're pricey,
but the C2s and the TX2s, all those things. If you got braid on those things and you can crank down on that drag, and that'll stop a redfish.
Yeah.
And I mean, and come up and ask for some more.
You know, I got a bunch of old C1s too, the original ones that are still, they're hanging in there. They're bulletproof too. I let customers use them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know what, I don't know where I'm going to go next.
But that orange one, I didn't have much luck out of that one.
No, that one cratered pretty quick.
Lime green looking one, and you know, some of the others, I didn't have much luck with them. But that C and then the E, but I won't let anybody touch them E's. The only problem you have with that one, like your worm gear.
Yeah.
If it gets just a little bit of buildup in there, it'll start bumping on you when you're turning the handle, working a lure. You'll feel that bump, you know.
And yeah.
All you got to do is take the cotton swab with rubbing alcohol and then wipe that worm gear down real good and then just put like two little drops of oil in there, the lightest oil you can get, and then turn the handle, and it's straight butter after that.
Yeah.
It's machined so close. And tight, that any kind of grit, whether it's salt or a piece of sand, anything gets in there, and then you get that bump when you're turning the handle. I hate that, but
yeah.
Clean that. Matter of fact, I keep alcohol and cotton swabs in under the front seat of my boat just for that, in case one of them starts acting like that while it, you know, in the middle of a fishing trip. I'll clean it. Takes about 10 seconds.
Yeah, tolerance is so close, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
Anything gets in there.
Yeah.
But, so do you rinse your reels off?
No, I never rinse them. I learned my lesson on that. I just wipe them down with a damp cloth, and then I'll, you know, if they need oil. And a lot of people over oil these reels, and the clearance is so tight. They get too much oil in there, and they slow it all down and make it rough. Just, I'm still using X1R that Skeeter gave me. He gave me a big old jug of it, and I'll just put it in one of those applicators, and just one drop's all it takes on that worm gear, and just a tiny drop on the bearings, if you know, if you've got ball bearings.
Yeah.
Instead of the, what they call these new bearings that they look like a bushing to me, but they claim they're a bearing, but they look like a, you know, a bushing, but
yeah,
I'll just put a tiny drop in there where the spool fits inside of it.
Yeah,
and I mean, just a little, bit goes a long way on these new reels.
Yeah, if you put a little bit too heavy oil in there, that's a problem too.
The thinner the better. Sewing machine oil is really the best if you can get it. You know, like women used to, you know, oil their sewing machines with.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. It's clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that if you put a little bit too heavy oil in there on a cold day, it won't want to cast. I messed up on that, too.
Yeah.
I thought it was real, real thin machine oil, and it was some kind of synthetic. But, boy, I mean, first cold day, I got out there, and it wouldn't even cast. Just, you know, 30 feet.
Hey, we're gumming up over here.
I had to warm it up with my hands. And, boy, and once I got it broke free, it took off, you know.
Yeah.
But, there's definitely better oils.
Yeah. And it's and I always cover my reels too. If I leave my boat, I put those reel covers on them.
Yeah,
that come with them. It'll keep any kind of grit, because I don't care how clean you keep your boat. There's always going to be some kind of grit in the floor when you're pulling down the road. All that blows in them reels. Best thing to do is I pull them out and put them in the passenger side of my truck. carry them inside.
That's what I do.
Just lock my truck up with them in there and then put them in the next morning. Keep on going.
Yep. That's how I do it. I do not ride them in the stand-ups in the center console. Never.
No.
The first mistake I made of that, I broke three on a tree. And that was a painful lesson. Yeah, so.
It's all about the way you look when you pull up to the dock. They'll come flying in there to launch their boat, and they'll have all their old rods sticking up everywhere with popping corks and weights. And the whole time they're pulling down the highway, those weights and corks are beating the heck out of that rod.
And
they get out there, and they blame it on the rod company because their rod snapped in half when they set the hook on a fish. Well, you bruised it, bruised that graphite up, and it's going to turn into a Rice Krispie rod real quick.
That's what causes a lot of that.
It does.
There's a lot of good rods out there.
Yeah.
But if you abuse them like that, big old sinker slapping, egg sinker slapping against that rod blank.
I'm telling you, man.
Grief.
Knocking
chips off the finish.
Man, I got rods that I'm still fishing with that are 12 and 15 years old, you know, that hook spit made, and I've got some old All-Stars, I've got Waterloos, and Castaways that have been around forever, and there's, you know, still good, but you got to take care of them. I mean, you can't throw them in the back of a truck or throw them down.
That's right.
You got to treat them right.
Yeah, if you ride them.
Stradivarius violin.
That's exactly, like a guitar.
That's it.
That's the way I take care of my reels. Ride them in bed of the truck. Even with a bed cover I've got, I don't put them back there because there's always dust going around in that.
That's exactly right. Keep them clean.
And that crap, it just messes them up. So they go in the cab and they're air conditioned when they get through fishing.
That'll work. All right, Bill.
Yes.
Well, we didn't catch many fish during this conversation, but we covered some other good stuff. Somebody wants to call you about coming over and fishing when this darn wind ever quits. How do they get a hold of you, man?
409-673-9211.
You got it, brother.
You know, they're going to be ready, and they're going to be biting, and they're going to be snapping. Picking the water.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
They hadn't seen a lure in a while. They're ready.
That's right, buddy.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. Hunker down when them storms come through.
Yes, sir. Will do.
Thanks, Bill. See you, buddy. All right. Well, hey, anglers, are you ready to hook into something big? It's time for the Matagorda Slam Fishing Tournament happening Friday, April 25th, down in Matagorda, Texas. They're kicking things off Thursday night, April 24th. Join them at the captain's meeting and Calcutta dinner at Rusty Hook Ranch, Rudy's Barbecue there, cold drinks, and you'll have a chance to get in on the action before the lines ever hit the water. Then it's game on. Safe light launch Friday morning and weigh-ins from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Matagorda Harbor. So bring your A-game, your best team, and your lucky rods. Entry fees just $400 per team. And here's the best part. Your entry includes all-you-can-eat crawfish on Saturday at the legendary Matagorda Slam Crawfish Cook-Off. And proceeds will benefit the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association, helping get more kids on the water and into the great outdoors. Spots are filling fast, so register today at matagordaslam.com. That's matagordaslam.com, and get ready to slam. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 4:41 here in the Bayou City. Let's head up to Conroe now, and let's check in with our good friend, Richard Tosh, the fish dude. See what he's doing this morning. Hey, Richard, what's up, buddy?
Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
Oh, man, I'm Cadillacing. What about you?
Good deal. Man, I tell you what, I've been listening to that rain all night long. It's been kind of raining.
Oh, it's been raining up your way?
Yes, it has. It's been pretty much all night, too.
Man,
so
I missed that on radar. I'm going to have to change providers.
It just kind of, I don't know what the deal is. It just rained all night, and I guess it's going to back off for a little bit and then come blowing through here in a little while. There ain't no telling, because it's, they're talking about it's supposed to start, have another round coming in later on today.
Yeah, there's pretty good glob, you know, that's it's stretching all the way from San Antonio up through Dallas and McKinney that way. But then I'm hoping it'll stay away from the coast.
It's kind of teamed
up with that other stuff from yesterday where, you know, I got family up, you know, the top of the state up there around Hawkins and Big Sandy, and they didn't have power, man. There was tornadoes, and, man, just unbelievable wind and hail, just crazy weather, man.
I know. Arkansas got caught, you got hammered on pretty hard yesterday,
too. Oh, it's
too,
getting hammered right now. I mean, this,
yeah,
that stuff from yesterday stretches all the way from, like, Shreveport through Arkansas all the way up into Kentucky and Ohio Valley and Cleveland. That, I mean, it's a mess.
It is. I'll tell you what, now, you know, that dang wind's been blowing so hard here all week long, pretty much. It's just crazy. And then like, you know, like tomorrow, it's supposed to be down in the 50s, I think, maybe even into the 40s.
Oh,
so it's,
you'll
like,
be in the 40s up at your place.
I mean, it's just crazy. It's you know, it's springtime now. It ain't winter still, but oh well, deal with it and go on. But yeah, I'm not fishing today because that dang wind and rain is supposed to be blowing through here, so everybody canceled on me. So we just rescheduled everything for later on, and then tomorrow I'll be out there in it though. So hopefully that north wind ain't pumping too hard. That's the main thing. As long as
25 to 35 with higher wind gusts.
That's horrible. That's horrible. But maybe we can make it. You know, if it puts a little bit of northwest in there, we'll be all right. If it's a little northeast, we're in trouble. So
I'm showing it's due north.
Well, that might be all right. I can hide in a lot of places. That's the thing. You know, and there's tomorrow they're wanting to hybrid fish and catfish, and we'll, you know, if it blows due north, I'm, as long as I can get down the lake, I got the hybrid figured out on this one little spot. You know, that's going to be the hard part. As long as there's not more than 3-footers out there, I think I can make it. That Pathfinder does pretty good, some rough stuff.
Yeah, man. That's open water, man.
I know. Yeah, that's the thing. But catfish are still doing pretty good. The biggest thing is they're moving up on the bulkheads and stuff right now. So, you know, because the shad spawn's happening and all that. And, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, with these fronts blowing in like that, it'll push them back a little bit, so they won't do so good on the bulkheads, but they'll be doing better out in the deeper water. So that's, you know, like I said, I got places I can hide from them out there. Just got to be able to move across one section of the lake, and I'm good to go, because I can hide from a whole lot of wind. You know, that's the thing about being on Conroe. You get just the right direction, you can get out there and work it over. But you get, you know, like south, southeast wind, it kills you. North, kind of a north west is okay on the north end, but it ain't worth a flip on the south end. So it's because you get all that tall timber up there in the national forest that kind of blocks it for you, and then when you get on the south end, all the houses, you know, they block a little bit, but not a whole lot. You know, you got to be right up against the shoreline to get out of it. But it's a, you know, you can still find places to get out of it. That's the main thing.
Right.
And so we're just going to have to play it by ear and see what happens tomorrow. You know, I'm hoping like heck it's blowing more down y'all's way than on my end. So that's the thing, because I think when all this stuff hits later on today, it's supposed to be turning out of the north, and all this junk will kind of blow out, just get cold. But it's like I say, it is what it is. You go with the flow and do what you can do. Can't change it. You know, that's like, I get, you know, get these people all the time say, you guarantee a limit? Nope. I'm a guide, not a god. I mean, if I was a god, I could guarantee it, but I'm not. So that's, I had some guys do that the other day. You guarantee it? Nope. I'm a god, not a god. If you think I'm a god, you need to turn around, because I'm not. But it's just one of them things. But it's you know, you get out there and just have a good time, and you're gonna catch fish no matter what. That's one of the main things.
Yeah.
Like the bulkhead stuff, I had some guys ask me the other day, said, No, we want to go bulkhead fishing. Well, how many are you? Six? No, we're not going.
No, well, that's too
I mean,
many.
You can't do it. No, to that many people, you got three of them hung up, you got three of them with fish off. And it's like, okay, right. you got to get these unhung and then get these fish off. There ain't no way you can do it. It's just, it's one of them things, you know. It's, if you get two or three, you can do it. It's because it's manageable. But when you get five or six people up there, you always got somebody that's hung up in somebody's yard or on the bulkhead, and you got a couple of fish on. So just trying to deal with it all and make it work, it just doesn't work. You know, that's the thing. But two or three, sure, you can do that. But it's just tough when you're trying to get more than that over there. Plus, you're putting all that weight on one side of the boat, too, because you're not standing on the opposite side of the boat casting at the bulkhead, you know.
You're gonna be right listing a little bit.
I guarantee you.
Pathfinder's about to turn over.
I guarantee you it looks like it sometimes, too.
Especially I've tried DB, it. They'll lean more, you know.
Yeah, they will. But I mean, that thing holds up pretty dang good. You know, it's really surprising because I've done it with, I think I've done the bulkheads with five people in there before. And after that, I just decided, you know, it's just too big of a pain to do it with that many people, you know, because that rascal just, you know, you're on tilt the whole time. And plus, you, like I say, you're pulling people out of somebody's yard and stuff like that and off them bulkheads and all that good stuff. Because, you know, I tell them all the time, if them fish were that shallow, we'd have a boatload already. So, you know, them rascals would be jumping in.
But depending on this weather, I'd sure like to come up there today and pick that unit up from you, but I don't know whether I want to drive all the way up there in this mess today. It looks like it's going to be
nasty. Well, thing is, you just give me a holler and we'll meet up somewhere. So I was thinking somewhere around Rayford might be a good meeting spot.
Okay.
There used to be, you know, that way we'd get kind of halfway in between.
Okay, well, I'll stay in touch with you, and you're going to be working on boats today.
You know it.
All right, buddy. Yep. Well, hey, somebody wants to work on coming up there and working on some fish, man. Get with the old fish dude. How do they get a hold of you, man?
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right. If you hear a locomotive coming, hunker down.
There you go.
See you, Richard.
Y'all be good.
Later, man.
All right. Bye.
All right. That's Richard Tosh, the Fish Dude. All right. Let's go over to Matagorda now and check in with our good friend, Captain Charlie P. this morning. Hey, Charlie, what's up?
Good morning.
How you doing, man?
I'm fine. Getting ready to fight the elements.
You going?
Yeah, we have a corporate thing. It's
blowing and Charlie's going.
Yeah. I haven't fished since Tuesday. That wind started blowing Tuesday about noon. We caught them pretty good that morning, and it's been blowing ever since.
I'm telling you. Take all your hair out.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just looked at radar. It looks pretty clean around here.
Yeah, everything's staying north of us.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it'll, you know, it won't hit the coast, all that rain.
Yeah, from what I saw on that radar, you fish till about 10 and you're smarter if you get off the water. If you stay till 11, you're going to get wet. if you stay till 12, you're going to regret it. And if you stay till 1, you're stupid. That's what I see.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's still been a few people fishing, you know, this week, Mickey. The whole south shoreline of both bays are beautiful, and, you know, there's scattered fish on them, but it ain't been nothing hot and heavy.
Right.
For anybody, but it is what it is. It's that time of the year.
I know. Well, this front will give us a little break. It'll slow down the southerly flow, and maybe we'll get a few days in behind it. Before we start getting another suck and blow situation.
Well, that water temperature's already up above 75, you know.
Yeah, I looked at everything here this morning, 77, 78, man.
Yeah, so it's probably a good idea for it to cool back down a little bit.
To. Yeah, just when you're thinking about coming out of them waders, here it comes again.
You know, it's like clockwork every year. Usually it's around May 1st when we put those waders up.
Yeah, I remember one May, I put them up too quick. Boy, we got out of the boat, and we got our limit so fast. But, you know, the water was warm, but the air was cold. And, man, we stayed in the water to keep warm.
Yeah.
I remember those days. Yeah. I don't know. Then you get out of the water, and the wind's blowing, you're freezing to death.
That's right.
And that's back that's when right. I was young and didn't get cold.
Young and stupid.
Young, stupid, boy, full of pee and vinegar.
Yeah, buddy. I liked it, though.
A lot of big fish to be caught in them days, man.
Oh, yes, there was. Yeah, I was thinking of a trip here that I had. Me and Don Wood were running a party. He had... their boss coming down from North Carolina, and we get over to the boat slips, and Don is sitting on his tailgate. The wind's blowing 35 miles an hour. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "What the hell are we going to do in this wind?"
I said, "Man, go nuke them."
Yeah,
go jump out of the boat and get on them.
Yeah, you know, I said, "Man, it didn't make any difference. They're going. Let's just go get them." And we only caught five fish, but the boss from North Carolina caught one almost 10 pounds. So.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
So we got a good tip that day, I can tell you that.
I bet. That was a PB.
Yep.
Personal best.
Well, he didn't even know what he caught. He was up there, and you know, all his guys down here were freaking out over it. And they said, "No, you got to get that fish mounted." He said, "Whatever." That's the kind of people that catch those big fish, the ones that don't even really care.
Yeah, I've seen it happen so many times.
Yeah.
Usually the worst fisherman in the crew or the one that really don't care, don't know anything, just, you know.
Gets lucky.
I'll take luck over skill either any day.
You bet.
If you're lucky and you're good, you're blessed.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm with
Ain't
you.
Ain't that a fact?
I heard that.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, somebody wants to call you and come over and fish with you, Charlie. Give them a number.
Cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, my friend. Well, Charlie, stay out of trouble.
Will do, Mickey. Take care. Right, have a good buddy. Weekend.
See you, man. Later.
Bye.
All right, that's Captain Charlie P. down in Matagorda. Well, hey, anglers, are you ready to hook into something big? It's time for the Matagorda Slam Fishing Tournament. That's happening Friday, April 25th, right in Matagorda, Texas. They're kicking things off Thursday night on the 24th. Join us at the Captain's Meeting in Calcutta Dinner at Rusty Hook Ranch. Rudy's Barbecue, cold drinks, and a chance to get in on the action before the lines ever hit the water. And then it's game on, safe light launch Friday morning. And weigh in from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Matagorda Harbor. So bring your A-game, your best team, and your lucky fishing rods. And entry fees just $400 a team. Here's the best part. Your entry includes all-you-can-eat crawfish on Saturday at the legendary Matagorda Slam Crawfish Cook-Off. And all proceeds will benefit the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association, where they're helping get more kids on the water and into the great outdoors. Spots are filling fast. So register today at MatagordaSlam.com. That's MatagordaSlam.com, and get ready to slam.